Hey, good day, gang. It's We Watch Stuff 91. That's voice sound weird on that, but I'm Jeremy. Shahid's on the other end, as always. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. I hope everyone's enjoying themselves, and we are here to talk about a movie we've been looking forward to for a long, long time that was well worth the wait.
Yeah. Right off the bat, I mean, obviously we both liked it. What'd you like better so far? Of the three movies that we've reviewed, well, we haven't reviewed this one, but we're getting there. We got Triple X, John Wick 2, and now this.
Triple X would definitely be 3.
Yeah, that's an easy one. Yeah.
It's tough because, you know what? I think John Wick 2 was.
Bless you.
It's hard because. Hold on. Excuse me.
Guess we should have waited to record.
Yeah. No. So I was thinking about that because I've never been to a movie where I enjoyed it so much, but it felt like a funeral at the end.
Yes.
And it's hard to kind of like rate it between this. Like John Wick 2 was just an awesome experience, and it was like you. Into the movie, you're enjoying the movie, and you're looking forward to the next one based on the movie you saw, and everybody was there. Like, it felt like a concert. This one felt like almost like, you know, the end, like you celebrating the end. And it was kind of like people were, I was like, I was enjoying the movie. I was into the movie. I was like, this is an amazing movie. But by the end of the movie, I was just like, I feel like I got punched in the stomach. So I don't know. I can't really rate it, like, because it's like two different experiences. So it's hard to say. Like, I think they're both awesome, but they're awesome in almost different ways.
Yeah.
And I can't really pick one between the two.
Yeah. For me, it'd be John Wick 2, only because the theater wasn't quiet at the end. Like, the theater going experience factors into this one because, and spoiler alert. Turn it off, because there's actually a gigantic spoiler that I had no idea was coming. So, which, depending, it started your movie or ended it. But spoilers,
it started mine.
So go away.
Okay.
So, the end, like at least with John Wick 2, it ended with, you know, I'm going to kill them all. He's like, of course you're going to. And then you get the feeling of dread as he runs. You're like, oh my God, this can't be the end. Oh, it's the end of the movie, please. Where's number 3 already? With Logan, it got to the end, and people in the theater actually started clapping. And I don't know. That was kind of like, it's kind of like putting your grandparent watching the casket go in the grave and going, "Yeah, yeah, good job." It's like, no, I'm not cheering. I'm not cheering for the burial, you know. So I think that'd be the only way. But when it comes to violence. We always talked about getting a Wolverine movie where the guy with the metal blades, doesn't actually cut anybody and there's no blood. And now they made up for it. So that'll be another aspect to get into. But how did you like the beginning of the movie? Because mine was at the beginning as well.
I was laughing my ass off because I knew they had filmed a scene. I didn't, but I forgot all about it, and I figured it might be at the end. So, it's funny where it's almost played with, you know, comic book convention. It's like, you expect, like, stingers at the end. So, we're there sitting, the movie started, like, 10, 15 minutes late. So, it finally starts, we get the previews. They don't show any new, like, all the previews, like, the ones we've seen. But, it's different seeing an IMAX. Like, it's just like, wow. I can see why people go to IMAX theaters. So we're watching it, and then you see all of a sudden, you see Deadpool pop up, and I'm like, and everybody just started laughing and clapping, like, "What's this?" And it was like maybe 3 minutes, and it was like typical Deadpool. It was just hilarious; like people were just laughing their ass off. It was, and I saw in the phone booth. It was like Nathan Summers coming soon.
I had to explain that one to the wife. I was like, "That's Cable, by the way."
Yeah. So it was like little. So the whole thing of him, like, you know, playing off the Superman trope, including the music and running in slow-mo and then changing it to the phone booth. Like,
how did they get the rights to that music?
I have no clue.
That was crazy to me.
It's amazing. I was thinking like this, like how Deadpool got to use the old Superman music, but the Superman music is not in the new Superman movies.
It's only from 78, so it can't be public domain.
I seriously doubt it is.
Yeah, I'm trying to see who put out the original Superman movie, but I have a giant ad for Logan up, which I don't need. Directors, blah, blah, blah. It's not telling me. Fucking IMDb. Anyways, but yeah, that surprised me, because when the music started, I thought it was going to be like some goofy, like fart noises or whatever. just something Deadpool-ish, and it wasn't. So yeah, that was funny. And then I love the idea that he has to see, he's like, hey, hang on, I'll save the day. Goes to the phone booth, bare-assed in there, which you couldn't help but see, and then somehow in that small backpack, he had his swords in there.
Too late, and then this ripping off, eating his food and then making a joke about, well, what the Wolverine has to do, like he runs around a fucking tank top and jeans. Yeah. And it's funny where Fox is just funny where they have this schizophrenic personality where they don't know what they want to do, but once they do it, they don't mind, because it's kind of like, it's weird seeing a movie rip on another movie from the same studio with like no problem, even talking about stuff like we all kind of notice, because a lot of people tend to be like thin skinned with that. And Fox is funny, is like once they do it, it's like they almost like the hell with it. Like when they go in, they go all in. Like, I know Logan had the widest R-rated release in, like, history. Even though they were kind of like, it's in 4,100.
Oh, my God.
It's like 4,100 theaters.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, because I think they, and we had talked about it for a while, once they realized what they had, they got all behind it. Like, they released 90 minutes early. They did the embargo, like review embargo early. They've been talking the hell out this movie. Like they dropping stills and clips and Instagram. Like usually people like either secretive or they kind of like they brag for the wrong reasons. And in this one, it was like once they were hesitant to get to this point, but once they got to this point and realized what it was, they got all in. And I've been seeing plenty of commercials for it and hearing anything. When I was buying my ticket, it was like, every second person was there to get that same thing. I was wondering, how many people are going to go see this? Because it's like, it's Wolverine and it's popular, but it's not Avengers popular.
Yeah.
It's X-Men popular, which is like a lower level of popularity. But then it's like, the first Wolverine movie was garbage, and that made like 85 million. Wolverine one was just him in Japan, and even that one made like 60-something million. That was him by himself. It's like, people know Wolverine. Out of like he's popular, and it's an R-rated movie, and it's signs of saying, this is not a typical superhero movie, so do not bring children.
And yes.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of like people didn't learn their lesson from Deadpool, so Fox had to double down, kind of like, we warned you, you didn't listen the last time, so we definitely warn you this time.
That's why I saw your one friend post on your Facebook page, and I was like, hey, I don't know you. But hell no. It starts off.
Yeah, and that's the way the movie starts off. Like, if you had any doubts that this is not a regular comic movie, yeah. Like, this is really the first comic movie that did not feel like a comic movie.
That's why everyone keeps saying it's an offbeat comic movie. It's like, it's really not. I guess because it came from the X-Men and comes from like the comic lineage. If you put this out without anything else, I guess you'd have to have some sort of backstory so that, Professor Xavier and all that makes sense. But this actually could stand alone on its own, as its own entity, I think, at least. So, yeah, calling it a comic book movie, it's kind of weird to me in this case.
Yeah, like, and this is kind of like the first, and I don't want to say this kind of like an insult to other ones. This felt like the first adult movie. Yeah. And it's weird because, like, even when it comes to Marvel, I think Captain America, out of all of them, seems like the most grown-up stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, especially the Winter Soldier and Civil War. But even then, you realize, like, they're dealing with adult themes and, like, serious themes. But, you know, you got Spider-Man running around. Like, it's still, you know, you're in the comic universe because you see comic stuff. This one builds on the fact, like, we've had these characters for 17 years. So we've seen them grow up. So they built on that. But you don't really have a time frame of, like, you know what happens in the future. And they know that people have seen these movies, seen the X-Men movies. But beyond that, it's kind of like there's no other X-Men around. There's no other stuff. Like, they have characters from the comics, but it's like they're just characters. Like, if you didn't know they're from the comic books, it would make a difference. Like, you just know they're playing roles and being that. And it's like, it's funny where it had the cake and eat it too. Like, it's a standalone movie, but it builds on the fact that you've seen all these other movies. But it's not like the Marvel thing where you had the CDs to see this one. It's kind of like, I've seen Wolverine for over a decade, so Wolverine's important to me.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't need to know what happened, like, X3 or what happened in First Class or anything like that. I just know, like, I've been seeing Wolverine for a long time. And it's hard because you can't do this a lot because it's, like, a lot of weight is saying this is the last one. But I think this is a case where a lot of people complain about continuity problems with Fox compared to Marvel. I think this was an advantage because it was like, we can just tell our story and we don't got to worry about the details. It's like, this is like, you just strolled in and here and watching a movie. And I wonder if other people would have Marvel. I won't say Marvel would never do it because who knows how things would be different, like, by the time Infinity War comes out. But I wonder if others' theories, like, you know what? It's more than one way to skin a cat. And, just tell a story with comic characters, not necessarily a comic movie.
Yeah, see, all right, so the first thing that came to mind, what was funny is, to go back a little bit, when the movie first starts up, I believe the opening dialogue, he says fuck 3 times. Like, right off the bat. And you immediately go, okay, it's kind of, like, to me it felt like overcompensating, like, we have an R-rated movie, let's have him swear all the time. But then you forget, I don't want to say homogenized, but he was kind of, Wolverine was a sanitized version of Wolverine because of the restrictions placed on it, because they wanted PG-13 movies. So after a while, it kind of grew, and I was like, yeah, this is actually probably how he would talk, actually.
Yeah.
Like, real, I almost said blue collar, that's not it, but just, workmanlike, gritty. I could see him, like, shooting the shit with the guys and talking like this, and then he just basically, when he starts stabbing, it's all bets are off, and that's for the first 5 minutes. It was great. And it was like, this is what it should have been the whole time.
Yeah, and it was funny where it was kind of like, oh, they're just making Wolverine R because of Deadpool's R. Like, no. And we've always said, you can't, it's funny where people so in the canon with comics, but then want to be all funny when it comes to Wolverine. Like, you worry about Hugh Jackman not being 5'4", but then you wonder about it should be rated R. Like, especially this Wolverine, like, it's, what, 2029?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, that all the X-Men are dead. He's a damn limo driver. He's dying. Why would he not be pissed off?
So is, like, he a limo driver or an Uber driver?
I guess maybe he's an Uber driver with a limo. They never, really go into it. It's like, who knows how Uber works back then. It's like kind of like we've seen all this, and it's kind of like it's this man that's lived for hundreds of years, like, just trying to eke out something, knowing that time is not on his side. And first thing you see is somebody trying to steal his damn tires. And it's kind of like, yes. And he's pissed off. Like, normally he's like, okay, he's going to punch him. He might stab him in the shoulder. Nope. It was kind of like a Western and a horror movie. Like, that's what I felt the vibe of this movie.
Yeah,
like,
oh, a combination. Yeah, for sure.
Like, because when it's how Wolverine would really be, but you never, it's different when you read in the comic books.
then when you or play a video game and then you see it in like real life. Like, I can see the hesitance for like Wolverine should be R, but do you really want to see R? Because violence should have impact. And one thing I'll say about this movie, whenever violence happened, it was not gratuitous. Like, it had a reason, and you felt it. Like, especially IMAX, I just almost where it was like, not like, it's funny, like John Wick violence is like, it's violent, but you're cheering because it's just so awesome looking. This violence is kind of like, ugh, like, ouch. Like, each time I seen, like, a lot of times, like, people, like, you know, like, ouch and whoa. I heard a lot of that in the theater whenever that happened. Like, and you can tell that's how the movie starts off with that. It's kind of like, you know, he gets shot, you know, it's like, oh, they don't realize who they're dealing with. And then you've seen it before, like Wolverine gets shot, get back up. It's like Wolverine and he argues. This time he warned him, he gets back up, and he just chopping arms off and legs off and just... Yeah, those calls would do that in real life, but you're not expecting to see that in real life. And it's like, yes, this is not your father's X-Men movie.
Well, that's funny because that's what we were talking about yesterday before we went. I was watching The Wolverine, and that scene with when they attack at the funeral, and he's got claws out everywhere, and people are just dropping guns. He's tripping people with the claws. I'm going, I really can't wait to see Logan now, to see what this scene would really look like. Just limbs and people dying everywhere.
And I told you, like, the unrated version is better because they add blood, but it's nowhere close to this one. No, so, like, if somebody had, like, you know, 6-inch adamantium claws and they can cut through metal, I'm doubting you're just going to sweep them. Like, they're not going to get stopped by some Levi denim.
or just a regular suit slacks, for that matter. That sure as hell ain't going to work. But, no, the one thing I really enjoyed, like, the girl who played X-23, and unfortunately, I wanted to do some research into this, but she is a clone of Wolverine, right?
Yes.
All right. Was her name Laura?
Yes.
Okay, and then was she a mute? Or was that just for the movie? Oh, no, I'm sorry, not mute. Well, that, but then also, was she Mexican as well?
I do not remember.
It's not that it matters. I'm just curious.
I don't think so. And it's funny, and I know she was a prostitute in the comics for a while.
God. Well, that'd be kind of weird.
Yeah, that was like for a short time frame before she joined the X-Men. It's funny you brought her up. Like, child acting is hard because it's kind of like, especially like this type of role where usually what happens is they're either too obnoxious or too hyper-intelligent, like where they're 9 and act like they're 29.
Yeah.
Oh, and like people, like 7-year-old kids shouldn't talk like Jerry Seinfeld. And a lot of screenwriters have them talk like they're our age, just a smaller version of us. And it's like, you know, cut that crap out. It's, you know, and this one is kind of like, even before she talked, and it was, you know, when she talked, it was hilarious because you didn't even know she wondered if she was going to talk the whole movie. And the reaction, like Logan had, like, oh, now you can speak, but kind of like you've been doing this BS for like a couple of days. You can talk the whole time. But no, it was just a vibe about her. Like, you know, when people are just calm and it's like uncomfortable calm. Mm-hmm. She's like, she had that. And then she just moved like a predator, but she didn't act like an animal. But when she, it's funny, like seeing a fight scene with like a little kid, and normally it's not believable. And this one, it was, because she just seemed like a damn evil ass elf.
Okay, that's all right. So to take apart all that, that was something that her acting was really good. But it was funny because when she finally does start talking, my immediate reaction was, nah, just shut her up. Just no. I mean, she just kept going on and on and on. I was like, oh my God. And that's why he finally lost his cool, just told her shut the fuck up.
And when do you see that before, like a grown up telling a kid to shut the fuck up?
But that's further down the movie. Mm-hmm. Okay, I enjoyed this movie quite a bit, so I'll probably use the same something I enjoyed saying. But when have you ever seen a movie where a kid gets a harpoon through the chest? Let alone a kid jumping all well, when they introduce her, well, not introduce her, but introduce her as being the mutant Xavier said she was, she's got a guy's head. She's holding the guy's head like a bowling ball, and then she throws it and then just goes nuts. That scene where she's fighting X-24 and she's just repeatedly stabbing him over and over again, and then he's stabbing her. I was like, this is a child on screen. That was insanity. Just the fact that it's supposedly a superhero movie, and you got a kid that got a harpoon through the chest, then she's lopping guys' heads off, stabbing people like crazy, getting stabbed in return. It's like, I couldn't imagine how this movie got made if they thought for a second this was going to be PG-13.
It wouldn't have been made, basically. And that's the whole point. It was kind of like, Wolverine, like, Hugh Jackman has always talked about he wanted Wolverine movies to be rated R because Wolverine's an R-rated character, and Fox was like, no, because we make too much money with PG-13. And it is an argument to be made. Like, yeah, it's a lot of money to be made. If Deadpool didn't exist, this movie wouldn't exist. Like, Deadpool making almost $1 billion, not even released in China, being an R-rated movie for a character that is, like, is internet mainstream, but not mainstream.
Yeah.
Change a lot of things, you know, better for worse. And like, we're just watching this, and then the whole thing, like you said, you know, we're gonna be dancing around, jumping from spot to spot. Like, you're seeing Wolverine cursing, you see Professor X, a doddering old man, just cursing, acting like an old ass crazy man. It's just, and it was hilarious and heartbreaking, because Patrick Stewart is always dignified, even when he's playing like goofballs. And you're used to seeing him as, like, you know, Captain Picard and Professor Xavier. Like, he's prim and proper, and everything's in place, and he's the moral, you know, background, and he's the foundation for everything else. So to see him just, like, crazy old man, you know, cussing at Wolverine, it was, like, it's funny because, you know, it's him, but it just felt like it was sad. Like, look at this great man just... this doddering old, I need to take my pills, I need help peeing, like...
That was one of the stark things in there, to where when they introduced him, and everything we've talked about so far has been in the first 30 minutes of the movie, which is all you really see in the trailer and then in the commercial. There's a few, like, quick snaps here and there. So everything you see in the commercials is out of the way in 30 minutes, which I thought was fantastic. It's like, good, they didn't show much of anything, because there's the whole subplot with the New Mutants took me by surprise. The stuff with Xavier, I thought he'd be gone in a heartbeat, but, you know, like we said, spoilers, when he died, didn't see it going that way. But Xavier's portrayal in this... They make up the hell out of Patrick Stewart. He had that wispy old person hair. Like, ugh. It was sad. It was just really hard to watch. And then he's yelling about this and that, and then he started doing... the product placement stuff was kind of funny, but he starts ranting about the chalupa, I think it was. Try one at Taco Bell, and it was just really hard to watch. And then that, it's funny, it's all the stuff you don't think about. Like, he has to use the bathroom. Well, someone's got to help him use the bathroom now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, no, you're the guy in the suit telling people to fuck off in the other ones. And then I guess he was trying to do the McAvoy version of Professor X. That's why he was swearing.
He's just old and crazy. Like, they make a big, and it's something that I never thought about till this movie. I'm surprised I never thought about it. Professor Xavier is the most powerful telepath on the planet. So imagine how dangerous that would be if his mind starts acting up. Like, they always made a big deal, like, you know, I could use Cerebro and kill every mutant or every human on the planet if I wanted. And it's kind of like, yeah. Like, like they said, and they made a big point, like, you know, he's classified as his brain is classified as a weapon of mass destruction. And, you know, you knowing that, and just knowing, like, you, all your life's work basically got pissed away. Like, because think about, even before, another spoiler, like, we get the part where you wonder what happened to the X-Men, and it just dropped. Oh, like they gave like Clint's like, you know, similar thing, like when he went to the casino and his brain attack happened, and then on the radio talking about like a similar attack happened in Westchester, which led to the death of something, and then it's like
just he cuts like, it. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's kind of like even before he has his speech, when he tells him like, "Yeah, he killed the X-Men of a damn seizure." Like, imagine and but not only that, knowing he did it, but then he didn't remember that he did it up until then. Can you imagine that? Like your whole life you built towards something, and you basically because the ravages of time just destroyed it, and then just kind of like, what did I live my life for? Like I went so high, I had so much dreams, and the world and myself just pitched away to dust. And then he spent half his time blaming Wolverine, and Wolverine knows, but he's not gonna tell him. It's like, yeah, that movie had me in my feelings at a lot of points. That movie's like, ouch, like poor him.
I liked it because it was funny. In my mind, I had decided, well, no, it was an accident with Cerebro, you know. That's why his mind's all messed up, this and this, and it was more like a comfort. Like, no, you're not. Well, no, he's not supposed to get Alzheimer's. You know, he's not supposed to get dementia, whatever he's suffering from. He's Professor X. These are comics. You know, this isn't supposed to happen. So, as like a coping thing, you know, just said, oh yeah, that's why. But no, just the fact of it is, this brilliant mind just went to just basically disintegrating, and it ends up killing it. It's like, God, wait a minute. Where's Apocalypse? Where's the big bad guy that took the X-Men out? Not the guy that founded them, who was their teacher, mentor, and father figure, you know? You don't get that. So you got to sit with that weight, and then when you see Wolverine kill Professor X, I was totally lost what was going on. I'm like, oh, he got a haircut? Like, what the hell just happened? He got out of the shower or something? And then there's two of them, and yeah, a lot of surprises in this that they disguised. And I also didn't read a lot about this on purpose.
That probably helps you, because the only reason I wasn't surprised about the X-24 because I accidentally read a review and it kind of brought it up, and I was mad that I read it. Like, that's the only spoiler like that I was there. But even when he popped up, it was just like weird, because it's funny, like, Hugh Jackman isn't 90 years. Like, Hugh Jackman is old, but he ain't old old. Like, he's just adult age. So it's weird, like, seeing him so old in the movie and then seeing him how he probably look in real life. It's like the old version looked more realistic than the young version.
Yeah.
Even though I've seen him look like the younger version, he probably looks closer to the young version. But, like, to bring about the whole thing with Professor X killing, you know, X, it's almost playing like the whole old man Logan thing, because, like, in that comic, it was Wolverine that did it.
See, I actually wanted to go and read that now. Just, I know they probably have nothing to do with each other, but
no, they not at all. So the only, and I'm glad they don't, because that comic's kind of like, yeah, it's a nice concept that is, it doesn't age well necessarily. Like, it's for a certain age and mindset. So, but no, it's funny where you just see that and you see them shadows of themselves. It's kind of like, I just want to get a boat and we go somewhere. Like, that's basically like, you know, you're used to so big scale and small scale. This one is like, I just want to retire, and we just live out our lives and die. And then it's kind of like, you know, there and Caliban's there. It's like, oh, then you have a Caliban Age Apocalypse. Don't worry about him. Like, it's kind of like you could just nix that, because.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he was in Age of Apocalypse. Oh, well.
Yeah. So, but it didn't really matter, because it's kind of like this movie is in its own. Like, if you know about the X-Men, that's all you need. And you watch the movies, that's all you need to know. And just this kind of thing. Like, he knows they're talking about, you guys going to get a boat. It's you guys. It ain't us. Like, I'm an albino, you fucking idiot. Like, I'm not going to be there washing your clothes and making him, you know, salted dick or whatever British fish dish he was talking about. Like,
you think I'm going to be underground like Nosferatu? That got a laugh out of me.
Like, it's just, you know, it's kind of like everybody kind of knows the deal, and it's what's weird seeing heroes looking like normal people. And it's kind of like, that's just disconcerting, because you just, so one thing about comic characters, like, they're larger than life, they can do things we can't do, and it's kind of like you live vicariously through them. And when you're kids, you always think about, like, being Wolverine is awesome, and this is the first movie where it's like, yeah, being Wolverine sounds awesome up until the time where it don't sound awesome. Yeah. And it was like, I would not want to be that man. And that was the vibe I was getting, like, yeah, like, Hugh Jackman just felt like he had been through a damn life. And he, every, actually, like, you know, you're so used to seeing him be a badass and everything, and you just see him, he's barely healing, he's struggling, put on a jacket, you know, he trying to drink the pain away. It's like, I guess, yeah, when, you know, the healing factor stops acting up, that's all, they always said, like, you know, the healing factor, the only reason adamantium wouldn't kill him, because it's like a poison-ass metal in his system. So it's like, yeah, he can, his eyesight's going, he's got arthritis. It's like, you're not used to seeing, like, you're used to seeing Batman get old because Batman's a human being. You're not used to seeing, like, superheroes with superpowers get old. And it's the first time you really had the portrayal, like, on the screen.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to figure out, because they never came right out and said what was killing him. And he, I mean, he even says, like, yeah, I'm, he's like, you can't help me. I know what, he goes, I know what it is. And then they implied at the end it was the adamantium killing him.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that the healing factor was just working all the time and finally just stopped working. Was that what we were supposed to get?
Yeah. I mean, because that's how it always worked. Like, they haven't talked about it. It's funny where they talk about a lot in the comics. In the movies, they always say the healing factor, the only reason why he survived it. But they never go into the whole thing about afterwards. Okay. So
Magneto was actually doing him a favor when he ripped all the adamantium out of him, man.
Yeah, like, and in the comics, when he does that, his healing factor goes into overdrive. Like, because it's like, it's almost the whole thing, like Cable. Like, Cable would be super powerful, but he spends most of his power keeping himself alive because he had, like, a virus in him. And the same thing is, like, you know, Wolverine can heal from all this other stuff, but if he didn't have to spend half his energy, you know, dealing with, like, metal cancer, more or less, you could probably chop his damn, like, leg off and it would grow back.
That so, was always the thing with him that people talked about. So if you cut his hand off, does he grow out of the hand, or does he grow a new hand? And I thought Deadpool kind of dealt with that when he cut his own, what was it, wrist? No. Yeah. Yeah, he cut his own wrist off. Or, I'm sorry, he cut his hand off at the wrist, and he had, like, the little baby, he had the baby hand for a while, so.
Yeah, so that was the whole thing. It's kind of like, you know, the adamantium was, you know, the healing factor was the only reason was keeping the adamantium from killing him, and now the healing factor is going out because he's getting older, and it's like, yeah, you have this foreign metal that's probably toxic as hell in your body that's not supposed to be there, that's going to have problems, and it's the first time you actually seeing it have problems. And it's funny, like, it goes, we've talked about this, we haven't even talked about the villains in the movie yet, like,
yeah.
And I want to talk
about
it. There's
a lot in this movie. I mean, it's, what, 2 hours and 15 minutes? Something like that? It's the longest X-Men movie. No, yeah, second longest. I take that back.
And you know what? It felt it. But it didn't feel like, it was a long movie that felt like a long movie, but it felt like it meant to be long, because it was like, it gave stuff weight, so when stuff happened, it felt it was important, because a lot of stuff happened in this movie. Like, it's funny, like, the movie plot isn't that much, but a lot of stuff happens in the movie, but it all builds toward, like, the journey, and, you know, and, like, where they're, like, what happened in the past and what's happening in the future.
Yeah.
So, and it's like, you know, the villain, like, it's funny about, you know, like, Donald Pierce, like, is one of the villains, and it's funny about Boyd Holbrook, because he's a good actor, but, like, Narcos, he doesn't get a chance to show it, because he's got to play, like, you know, I'm the representative of the viewers, like, I'm watching his eyes, and it's kind of like the whole thankless role where, it's like a thankless role where it's kind of like, you know, you don't get to shine because you're there with Pablo Escobar and even like Pedro Pascal. Yeah. It's like they get to be flamboyant and flashy, stuff like this. And
he just has to be the guy. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
and it's kind of hard to do that role. Like being a straight man, like the straight regular guy, is kind of hard.
Yeah.
And so it's like you don't really get a chance to show your acting job. This one is kind of like it's funny where he was an enjoyable dickhead is the best way to describe. Like he's doing evil stuff, but he doesn't seem evil, if that makes sense.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say, actually. He was just there. It was funny. And I know that it's the whole thing. Well, I'm just doing my job. Well, you know, it's evil, though. Well, I'm following orders. That's all his character seemed to be. Because there was never that moment where... Because he even said he was a fan of Wolverine, and he always wanted to meet Professor X. I didn't see that as sarcasm. Mm-hmm. I saw that as a guy like, yeah, this guy actually, like... Apparently, the X-Men turned into big celebrities in this time. And then also, mm-hmm. with the way they died, well, maybe, you know, they become, you know, whenever someone dies, you forget about all the bad and only just pump people up. Well, mostly. And it almost seems like that's what was happening. Well, so when he shows up, and I think you said it earlier. If not, I've read it too. This does play like a Western. It's not, like, it starts off, you know, you got the gunslinger, does his thing. Then the bad guy shows up, not to fight, but just to make sure his presence is known. And basically gives the warning, you know, stay away or do your thing or just do whatever I want. So when he jumps in that limo and he's like, yeah, blah, 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 talks to him. You got a menace out of him that he's serious, but I never took it as like, yeah, I'm just here to fuck your life up.
Yeah.
Because I think I honestly think if he would have just turned over X-23, I think he would have just left. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that'd been a sucky end of the movie. But that's basically like, yeah, I'm just here for a job. It's almost like, you know, like, I'm a fan of the Wolverine. And he got like, that southern draw, like, you know, this breaking out, like, you know, the fight in Texas, and one guy had his arm cut off, and a guy had his leg cut off, and it was some lug bolts to a 24 Chrysler. You're driving a 24 Chrysler. It was almost kind of like he was playing like Matthew McConaughey almost, like that vibe where I'm just this guy that's trying to do a job. Sometimes I have to do, I had to do harsh things, but I don't really want to do it. But when you see the tapes, it's kind of like,
yeah,
he'll do it if he has to. Like, no, he doesn't have compunction doing it. But
I mean,
he doesn't
gassing kids. Oh.
Yeah, so that little vibe where it's kind of like, He wasn't all had his chest out, but it's kind of like, you know, we can just do business, anything like that. But if we don't, I'm going to see you again type thing. And Wolverine's whole thing is like, fuck you, fuck off. I don't know what you're talking about. I just want to retire. And it just builds in that, like, you know, you get to the girl and she just had this whole, it's funny where I can imagine that being Wolverine as a kid, like, don't touch my stuff. Like, he's trying to grab the bag and the, she's like, no. She just like holding on to the bag.
Hey,
first thing you see, it's like she's snatching stuff away and everything. She's just acting like, because you remember, like, she is a kid. You know, a kid with no filter. Kids can act like monsters if you don't like, you know, guide them. And considering the fact that she knows she's a killing machine too, and like, it's not like she's unaware. She's aware. Like, she knows what she can do. She talked about it later in the movie. They show videos where she's cutting herself and she's healing, so she knows that. It's like
that.
If you're a killer and you know you're a killer and you don't worry about it being like no compunction on not to do it, and you're that age, yeah. Why wouldn't she act like that? It's kind of like, you know, she grew up in that environment, and as far as she knows, all her friends are dead. So, yeah, so it's just funny seeing, like, the dichotomy where those three is, like, they're this dysfunctional-ass family, and they're all trying to, like, get in where they fit in.
Yeah, it's funny, because I don't have, I mean, we got Bishop, but he's 22, so he's not a kid. So it's a weird thing, watching this stuff, and you see, like, this little girl, again, going back, she's, what, 10? She's not a teenager either, which... Mm. You know, not teenagers physically look totally different than a kid from like 6 to 10. They just, you know, you get the puberty thing, you shoot up, you look different. You're actually starting to look like a real person. Little kids, though, seeing her fly around, but they got to those tapes, And yeah, you jarred the memory on that one. Her cutting herself and letting it heal, cutting, just doing it over and over. I was like, oh my God. And then you add into the fact that probably she's 8 or 9 during the time of that video. Yeah. And then they're showing all these other kids. And like, what was his character name? I forgot already. The bad guy.
Donald Pierce.
Yeah, Donald Pierce. He, yeah. Yeah, so Pierce, they show him like when they're getting, like they perfected X-24 and they were like, oh, gotta get rid of all these other ones. He's dragging children by the hair or unconscious ones by the leg and like throwing them to get gassed. Like they said they were putting them to sleep. But I took that as, yeah, they're taking them to the vet to get put down.
Yeah, because he made a point like when they were doing the whole birthday kid, like, you know, these are not kids, they're assets. Look at them as tools. Don't be like, you know, your boobie will be better. No gold stars. It's kind of like, it's business. Like, I'm not necessarily a harsh thing, but I know what I'm doing. Like, we made these things in a test tube. So let's remember that. And it's just weird seeing that vibe. It's always weird when you see that with children because we just have a natural, protective instinct about children. So the fact that one, you see them like being treated as tools, and then you see X-23 running around like a damn
animal, I guess,
serial killer. It was almost like a horror movie. Like, because it's funny, Donald Pierce made a good point talking about, you know, it was either like we say a tiger or Freddy Krueger, and they're like, I know it wasn't either because one is fictional and one is extinct. Just imagine like if you see, because Wolverine didn't do that more, like Wolverine's kind of like when he was fighting, it's like that's how it really looked. But imagine a young Wolverine like on a mission, like just she's a 9-year-old that's stalking these like military experts and everything like that, and they did not shy away of how that would look. Like she is stabbing people in the throat, chopping heads off, groin shots, and then when she pulled out her foot claws, because I remember that I knew she had a comic, but it's like,
okay, you know, I wasn't sure if that was in the comics or not.
Yeah, it's in the comic, and they made a good point saying, like, this for offensive and defensive capabilities. Like, yeah, like, Professor X going that whole National Geographic speech about it, which was hilarious. So to see her do that, and you're not used to seeing – you're used to seeing, like, 9-year-olds do martial arts, but it's usually around their same age, or it's, like, weapons and stuff. Like, even Kick-Ass, they were teenagers.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know,
yeah.
So it's different with teenagers. Like, it's still disconcerting because it was disconcerting and Kick-Ass, but it's like they're older. Like this one, you're not used to seeing that from kids. And Hannah was the closest that got to that. But even then, that movie wasn't a horror movie. Like she was just shooting people when she was doing it. And it just seemed weird there too because it was like you're not used to seeing kids do that. Seeing a kid like stalk people and like hunt them and then once you get on them, like stab them 14 times. Like, ooh. And the whole thing was kind of like, ouch. I kept saying like that scene is very painful and very hurtful.
Just anytime she freaked out, I mean, it was awful. And I guess that would be Wolverine's berserker rage, you know, that we got a little bit of in X2, you know, sanitized obviously, but seeing that, especially with her, I mean, and especially with how small she is, and that was funny because they played that up a lot to where they like just overpower her and she can't get you with the claws, which is, yeah, that's exactly how it would be.
Yeah.
But like, yeah.
She's strong. she's stronger than most 9-year-olds, but she's still 9 years old.
Right.
So, yeah. And it was like little things. Like when they first get to the compound and they're trying to escape and they're driving a limo. Of course, first scene, you know, limo drop through a fence, keep on going. Nope. They hit the fence and stop. Because in real life, fences stop cars. That's why they have fences like that. It's just funny, like, you know, like little things like that where it was grounded and them trying to get away, you know. It's funny, like, it wasn't a lot of action scenes, but all the action scenes hit and they all hit in like different ways because it was kind of like either it was Wolverine showing that he still got it, Wolverine showing that he doesn't have any more, you know, how dealing with stuff with like Professor X having one of his attacks, or X-23 or even X-24. Like, they each have their own vibe, but the stuff before it built to it, it wasn't like, you know, we're having violence for the sake of violence. Like, you know, violence means something and this is what it means and this is how it looks like, so be like, so you can see why Wolverine doesn't want to be about that life. Besides the fact that it's hurtful, it's like it's not, it's uncomfortable, and it should be. And too many times it's like we make Bond like, oh, it's awesome. Like, wouldn't it be awesome to be Wolverine and just you can chop an arm off? Ain't nothing awesome about chopping a human being's arm off. I mean, sometimes you got to do it, but they ain't something that's like, hey, look what I did last week, Billy. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about watching, like, they planted enough in there to where most movies, you know, if you pay attention, or sometimes it's not so subtle, they'll give you like, all right, well, here's this. This will help further in the movie. Here's this. It'll help further down the movie. They only did that a couple times, but it was done with, like, ultimate effectiveness. The bullet, which I'm thinking the idea, obviously, was from X-Men Origins or Wolverine Origins. Yep. But that wasn't the bullet from that, though.
No.
Okay, so...
But the idea was from that. Like, he said he had it made. It wasn't just like he had kept that gun all that time. Yeah, because I was laughing like, you know, if Stryker shows up in this movie, I'm going to just laugh my ass off. Because who would have thought he'd be the damn... He'd be in the most X-Men movies, regardless of how many reboots they had, that damn character.
Yep. And then also the actor playing him, too. Well, I guess the actor wouldn't be... Couldn't possibly
they could have Brian,
well, I guess you could have Brian Cox, do it, but...
You could have Brian Cox back, so if you wanted, he'd be age-appropriate.
Wait, didn't he die at end of X2, though? Well, actually, all right, you know what?
Yes, he did, but that never stopped, so?
Yeah, exactly, because they just rebooted it, so that's what you get. Anybody can be alive, I guess.
Yeah, like...
They can do whatever they want now, so...
Yeah. Because what happened with Days of Future Past basically eliminates what happens from those other, like, it's a... Anyway,
yeah.
I don't even
want to get into that. Exactly. Yeah. Continuity. Well, I read, and I agree with this, and I was thinking the same thing. This reads more like an actual graphic novel. Back in the 80s, when they used to have, like, the one, just the graphic novel that had nothing to do with anything, they just wanted, here's a cool Wolverine story. Well, we'll sell it at a larger format for $16.95 or whatever. That's what this reminded me of. It doesn't exactly have to be part of the real continuity, but if you want it, I guess you could try and fit it in. And that's what I kind of like, and that's... I think it freed the movie up to do whatever they wanted, which was good. But then also, I don't know if this may be the way Fox may want to do their stuff, but they added just enough in here to where if they wanted to run with this in a world with no Wolverine... I mean, the way they introduced the New Mutants, well, at least two of them, but they gave, like, a whole group. Because they very clearly said Bobby and Richter. It's like, okay. But then I didn't remember any of the other ones. Like, I don't
remember.
They
didn't make a big deal about the other ones. I think Richter was the main one you heard the name from. Or, like, you heard the name more than once. I think that was a reason for that.
The one New Mutant that cracked me up was a little fat black kid. I honestly...
It wasn't just you.
Okay, good. Because when they're chasing him in the woods...
And he's running the woods. You were laughing, weren't you?
Inside, I was laughing. But outside, I'm going, uh-oh. Like, they're going to kill him, aren't they? And I was like, they better not kill the fat kid. That's just rude. And then you see him waddle away, and I was like, oh, okay, he made it.
Yeah, don't worry, it wasn't just you, because I was sure they had the same vibe, because I was watching it and just looking, and like, I wanted to laugh, but it wasn't appropriate to laugh. But it's kind of like that vibe where people wanted to laugh, but they didn't, but they had the same thought.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, that, like, you see, because basically you see a chubby fat kid running, and then the whole chubby black fat kid, if anyone die, he'll die first thing from that horror movie.
Yes.
Mythos. And it's kind of like they play with your emotions a lot of times in movies. And speaking of which, one of the things I liked about I really like is like a little short word. The whole thing with like Eric LaSalle's family.
Yes.
Normally that you're wondering like what's the point of that in a movie, but it's funny where that scene, it was like maybe what a total of 15-20 minutes. It told like a whole arc. Like it goes from they help him with the horses. Professor Xavier uses his power, and it's like, you remember how powerful he was, so it makes it sad to see him now. Like, you can see what he do when he's lucid. You see them, like, the whole vibe, like, this is my daughter, this is my dad, Chuck, and everything. And seeing how he, pushing his door, like, come on, let's go. He basically shoving her. They looking like, who's these weirdos? You seeing, like, the whole family vibe, because it's kind of like, the stuff that they want but can't get because of life. You see the whole issue with, you know, when they fix the water pipe and stuff, where it's kind of like he's handling, you know, he gets to help people and he's handling violence without killing anybody. You get that vibe. You get with her learning about music, is like her getting to be a child again and everything. And then X-24 shows up like Jason, like Michael Myers, yeah, like coming in, stabbing that little boy. Like, and it's funny where I think it was worse because they showed it through a, like, you see Donald Pierce on the camera seeing it. So you see him seeing it and it's like off to the side, but you see what's happening. Like, he's murdering a teenager.
Yep.
You're not used to seeing somebody, you're not used to seeing kids get murdered in most movies. Usually you don't see, because even when kids get murdered, it's usually off screen or see the, like, the body. You don't see it actually happen. You see that, you know, the after effects. This, yeah, one, you're actually seeing it happen. Like, you know, and then the whole thing with Eric LaSalle coming in and he gets stabbed. Just basically, like, he goes up the steps, he comes down the steps. And then you just see the whole fight scene where, you know, the people come back and it's like, how would Wolverine be if he had no filter? And yeah, the first thing you do, he cuts somebody's head off, and it was like, it turned into a damn horror movie. And you see the whole scene with the fight scenes, you see, like, Wolverine cannot hang with this guy because one guy's, you know, they are stabbing the shit out of each other. Up to the part where when Eric LaSalle hit him with the truck, I was like, oh, he's alive? Like, you know, yeah, he pulled out the shotgun. And then it's the scene that it really moved. Like, he pulled out the shotgun, he shoots X-24, and then he wants to shoot Wolverine because it's like, what horror did you bring to my family? Like, you know, 5 hours ago, I was minding my business, and then next thing you know, you went from you helped me with my horses, I'm feeding you, you helped me with this, and now my entire family's murdered, and I realize I got a bunch of monsters around me. And it's funny where I was surprised he pulled the trigger. Like, you know, of course the gun's not loaded, but I thought he was going to, like, aim and then, like, drop the gun or something like that. No, he was going to shoot him. Because it's kind of like, what the hell's going on? And then he dies. Like, that whole arc, and as I show, it's like, and it just builds a Wolverine, like, you know, I'm not good at this shit. Every time I care about people, bad things happen. And that arc basically explained why he is the way he is. And it was like, hey, it was moving. You're not used to, like, stuff like that in these type of movies. And that was moving as hell to me.
It's funny the way you described it, because that this movie, like, I know I started off the show saying, like, it's not really a comic movie, but the more I'm getting into this, that it was actually broken up as if it was a comic arc. And that it had very distinct, like, if you want to look at it this way, episodes and then issues. Like, at the end of the issue, like, he fights a guy. You get the beginning where he fights, guy gets in, and he gets home, and he walks in to see Xavier. That would have been the end of issue one, or the first issue in the arc. And then you got the next issue, and the fights. And, like, this one just seems like that would have been one whole issue by itself. Or maybe two, depending. Mm. So, yeah, you know what? I'd have to give this more thought. This is just off the top of my head, but yeah, this actually seems like it would be like a 12-issue. It could have been 12 issues, 10 issues, whatever, and had the same effect. Huh.
Yeah, like it could have been a Netflix series, like 5-6 episodes, if they wanted to have that way, the way the vibe was. Because it's one, like, the movie doesn't feel bloated, but for a storyline that's not really that complicated, it's packed with a lot of, like,
yeah,
things. Like, and it's funny where they do more of show not tell. Like, you know, something happened, but they don't beat you over the head with it. Like, you know, basically mutants have been born for 25 years, and most of the ones that's around are dead, and that's it. Like, and then it's kind of like, you know, Xander, like the other villain, like Xander Rice, has something to do with it, but they don't really, like, go into it. It's kind of like, well, he did something. It was almost like payback because Wolverine killed his pop. So that's just simple. And it's funny where he was a funny character, where he was almost like that benevolent villain, like, I'm doing you guys a favor. It's almost like the whole how Bolivar Trask was in Days of Future Past. Like, I don't necessarily hate you. It's just, it's either me or you. I want to find a benign way of making sure I'm around, and but I got to get in where I fit in. We both can't share. It's the whole Magneto thing. He always said, like, you know, Professor X has always been like, we can work together. Magneto, like, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be either them or us, because that's how it's always is. Like, two people can't eat off the same plate. And it's always been like that. And a lot of the – and some of the best villains from the X-Men villains have had that same mindset. It's kind of like either I got to get you before you get me first, or I'm going to get rid of all the bums. And if you can hang, you can hang. And if not, like, basically Apocalypse Syndrome is kind of like, you know, I don't care who you are. Either you going to hang, either you're going to be with me, or you're not going to be with me. And I'm gonna get rid of all the ones that's not gonna be that's not good enough. And it's X-Men have always had that vibe about, you know, coexistence compared to, you know, self-preservation. And this one is basically like, you know, humans won, more or less. Like, yeah. Magneto was right.
I they didn't even bother to explain why there were no new mutants being born. Or part of me wondered if they just weren't making themselves known. And then the other part was, nah, they're gone, and they don't feel like explaining it. But then, was it Rice? Yeah, Dr. Rice shows up. And does that guy ever play a good guy, by the way?
Richard Grant?
Yeah.
I cannot remember him playing a good guy.
Yeah.
He's in that almost like that Ronnie Cox. No, Ronnie Cox played a good guy in Beverly Hills Cop. No, what's his name? Powers Booth Hall of Fame, where when you see him, he's going to be a bad guy, or should be a bad guy.
Yeah. He showed up, and I'm like, oh, this dick. I mean, immediately. So, I mean, hey, good career choice. But, yeah, it was like, oh, my God. And this is another thing that was different, how it was like a Western, that you didn't have the big soliloquy. You didn't have the big villain, well, this is why I'm doing this. Like, X-24 never has that moment of, like, clarity. Like, wait, what'd they do to me? No, it was just, no, he's just is what he is. And that's why Rice starts going on. He's like, you know, first it started off, and they kind of addressed, like, people saying, well, why don't they just experiment with this mutant blood or something? Like, especially Wolverine, to cure diseases or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts going into that, and then he goes, well, then when you ran out, I was trying to help you, and a bang, he just shoots him in the head. Like, just nope, I don't want to hear any of this bullshit. You're dead.
Yeah, and normally,
like, what?
Yeah, it's kind of like you would expect this long monologue, yes, and anything like that. It's like, I do not got time to hear what you got to say. Like, I've been getting stabbed and run around for a damn week. Nope.
Yeah, and like, no, I'm in the middle of the woods. You're getting ready to kill us. Good night. And like, that made me jump. It's like, whoa, like, scared, because I wasn't expecting that. Because that was one of those things in the beginning. I don't like using guns, whatever. So you knew it was coming in. And then you knew she was shooting X-24. But that was still, like, they shot him in the head in the beginning because, you know, he's got the healing factor, so brought him back. But then she shoots him in the head at the end, and I was like, damn, that is final. Like, not the little, like, perfect bullet into the skull. It just blew half his head off. It's like, God damn, that is rough. And again, that is a 10-year-old girl shooting somebody in the head.
Yes.
Like, I can't push that enough with the child murder on both sides. And abuse, whatever you want to do. I mean, good grief. What a weird comic, if you want, or superhero movie this was.
Yeah.
But it was good. I thought it was. The wife thought it was too long. And
I could get that vibe because it was long, and it wasn't like long where you didn't realize it was long until after you left. Like, it was long, like, you felt it being long because it was a long movie, and it was a long, you know what, it was a long, slow movie, and you're not used to slow burn comic movies.
No. The Dark Knight movies, I guess, but they still peppered in enough.
Yeah, you don't realize how long those Batman movies are until you watch them again. Like, those are some long-ass movies, but there's a lot of stuff going on with those movies, too. But it's like, it's not a lot of downtime in those Batman movies.
No.
Now, like, it's either somebody fighting or somebody talking.
Yeah, now here's the thing. Especially with Logan, there was a lot of people not talking or sleeping, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the thing, and this is the major spoiler, guys. If you're still listening and haven't seen the movie, well, I shouldn't even have to say this by now, but so Logan dies at the end, right?
Uh-huh.
And I kind of figured that was coming, especially when they were showing Shane on the TV. Like I told you, I got a little teary-eyed for... It was sad. Like, if they would have left the cross, I would have been like, oh, yeah, he's dead. And then she turns and puts it as an X, and I was like, I'm glad this theater's kind of dark, because... I put the arms out and did the yawn and, like, wipe my face down.
There's a lot of sad people in my theater, too. And it was funny where it built in the whole thing, like, these X-Men are, like, legends. Like, they even got the comic books. And we were like, no, this shit right here, it didn't happen this way. You know, I'm taller than that. And most of 10% of it is true. And even that 10% is embellished. And even the place we're going to, like, y'all got out of a fucking comic book. Like, this ain't real. But the fact is, like, they're looked at as almost myths. And that's the first time you ever thought about that. Like, and it's funny, like, Batman and Superman is different. Like, the DC, like, heroes, they always kind of looked at as different. Like, yeah, these guys aren't, like, normal things. And, like, but Marvel is almost like, they're like rock stars. Then, mm-hmm. you know, like, they're like menaces. Like, this one is almost like, Dracula, like they're a legend. Like, you remember that guy that came in town? You remember hearing about the X-Men and everything? Like, and everybody acts that way. Like, Donald Pierce is like you say, like, I'm a fan of your work. Like, I'm happy to meet you. It's almost like, you know, meeting some old bass player that used to go from town to town, like, you know, was just a legend. And it's just seeing that X there and just, yeah, that was kind of tough. And you're wondering, like, are the rocks going to move or something like that? A hand going to stick out? Like, nope. The movie just ends. And that's, like I said before, that's the first time I went to a theater, like a comic movie, and people just left. Like, they weren't mad. And they weren't, like, grumbling. They were just sad. It was, like, it was quiet. Like, somebody... I guess it's funny, like, because people died. And even when Professor Xavier died... And I got to talk about that scene. Like, they bury him and everything. And then he just loses his damn mind. Like, when he's hitting the truck with the shovel and just cussing and falls out. Because that's how he should act.
Yeah.
But it was just so emotional. Like, he just... It's funny where it was sad, but people were laughing their ass off because it was funny. This came out of nowhere. He's just fuck, 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 and just beating that truck to death with a shovel, and she's just looking like, you know, and then she's going the whole thing like, I gotta take care of you now part.
Yeah, I was laughing at that part, but I was also looking at it going, hey, wait a second. Alright. Oh, they're not returning that car now. He's beating on this thing, and I'm thinking, man, they got to do this thing in one take. And I'm like, well, you know what? They could probably just CGI part of it. And then he smashes the mirror, and I just started laughing. Like, oh, wow, this is a one-take scene. He is pissed.
And he was. You could just feel like, you know, basically, like, it's funny where they had this. It's funny where the relationship they had in the movies before this, and then it's like the one they have now, it's like a love-hate, like, I love you, but I can't stand you, because Professor X is digging ass, like, I brought you in, you was just a cage fighter, hooked on pills, like, basically, like, you wasn't shit, and I brought you up, I tried to bring you up to at least pretend to be civilized, and you want to act this way now, like, fuck you, Logan, you piece of trash.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't want to hear that from them. I was like, they supposed to be almost father's son, and they act like, I guess father's son, if like Warrior with Nick Nolte and Tom Hardy, like every father-son relationship is not always roses. Like, yeah. I guess in real life it would be like this way where they're both bitter and angry how things turned out. And especially, imagine you, Wolverine, you got to take it like knowing Professor X doesn't realize what he did and how he got there. And the scene when they were at the casino and he has a seizure and you just see Wolverine slowly walking and just stabbing people. Can you imagine that? Like, your guy paralyzed. You think you're about to die, and all of a sudden you see Wolverine coming. You know what he's going to do, and you can't do anything.
I was thinking the same thing during that scene. He's just going to walk by these guys and keep. And I'm like, and it's funny because that scene in the previews is in real time. Mm-hmm. So I saw that. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool how they changed it up, you know, because trailers now give away a lot. and this one really didn't. So to see how they even made that change was really cool. But yeah, I was thinking the same thing, like, oh, that's gotta suck. Like, this, to, you know, to go totally underselling the importance of it. Yeah, I mean, here's this maniac coming right at you. You're screwed. And yeah,
they know it. And it's kind of like, you know, they made a big deal saying like, oh, because he's like, ain't that big a deal. And they like, not to you, like to us, it might be 30 seconds. It feels like 30 minutes. It's like, you know, he can kill us. Like, because it's just imagine, like, it's just, I can just imagine. I feel like the way the movie theater just felt like a drone, like your head's underwater. And the way the screen is just shaking and everything, like, they didn't overdo it, but it felt like it must have been like somebody slowly squeezing your head while shouting at you.
Yeah. And
even then, like, when it stopped happening, like, they run around, like, Donald Pierce, like, he's been drunk for like a week. He can barely move, and it's, yeah. And then when it comes to find out, like, that's how he killed the X-Men, it's like, damn.
Yeah. Now, they called them the Reavers. The Reavers were different in the comics, right?
They were. It was led by, like, Donald Pierce and stuff. It was different. Like, they were, like, human cyborgs and stuff like that. They just looked a lot different. It was kind of like, it's technically correct because that was his team and everything. And a lot of them had, like, cyborg arms and legs. But it wasn't, like, over the top. Like, one of them had, like, tank legs. They wasn't going to have, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah. So.
That's awesome.
Like, like, they basically, like, the bottom half was like a tank. And their top half was a human. So, like, it's kind of like. It's a more grounded version of what it was in the comics. And, I mean, it fits because this whole thing is, like, anti, you know, because he's like, you know, you should be, that line he had near the end, like, you should be, show more respect to the guy that took care of you damn muties. Like, show respect to the man that basically killed your race off. Like, how dare you disrespect him? And it was just such a dick line. And he just said it with, like, this. He didn't say over the top. Everything he did was, like, you know, with a smirk and everything. And it was just, like, this movie was an amazing movie. And it's just like a lot of little things and then big things. But it was sad. And I was sad when it ended. And it was like, I'm glad they got to do what they did. I'm sure this movie's going to do very well.
Yeah.
And I know it's kind of like, on one hand, they deserve to retire, but on the other hand, it's kind of like, I don't want them to.
Not now. No, I mean, okay, there's two ways of looking at this. Yeah, now, no, it's like, oh, God, they're going to allow you to do this, but at the same time, it's you go out on top, right?
Yeah, like, because really, so. The only two ways you can have them come back is if you pull them in a Deadpool movie and then just, like, but what happened there, don't worry about it and keep it moving, and everyone gets the damn joke and the hilarity of, like, I could just imagine Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds, like, playing those characters, because that would basically be like a Lethal Weapon on steroids, like those two.
But isn't that what we're supposed to get with Cable, though?
Cable's different, because you've seen, it's like Cable's new. So you know that from the comics, but he's gonna have to build that for the movie audience. Yeah. So, like, as Hugh Jackman has, is he's been Wolverine since 2000, and we've grown up with him being there. So that when you have a lot of weight and you don't have to, like, build or anything like that, that has a lot of, that's important. Like, people still look at Michael Keaton as Batman.
True.
How long ago did Batman come out? We've had, what, 4 Batman since then, and when you think of Michael Keaton, all the stuff he's done before and since. One of the first things you think about is Batman, Christian Bale, Batman. Like, when you've done Batman, did it well, you have what, Christopher Reeves was Superman, regardless.
Yeah.
Brandon Routh did it one movie, and it's still, yeah, I get to be Superman. I can make jokes about being Superman. So when you have certain roles, and he's done that role longer and in more movies than anyone else has done comic roles. So it's like either you do it with that, or he said the whole thing, and it's probably hoping against hope or dream against dream, and like, let me do an Avengers movie.
Okay.
And
okay, yeah.
He said he said if I was to come back, I'd come back for that. But other than that, I don't see myself coming back.
All right. So We'll wrap up the discussion of Wolverine with that. But I want to make sure I say something about my theater-going experience.
And,
okay, so, you know, didn't have a problem with John Wick 2, so we're off to a good start. And I'm like, all right, cool. This place is redeemed, not like it's the business's fault. When we got there, we didn't eat, so we had to grab popcorn and all that stuff. Apparently AMC has two different versions of their Stub Club thing. So we got in the poor people line. And I'm like, oh my god, there's four people in line. It felt horrible. I'm looking over like, there's two people over here, and there's two of us. Like, why the hell are we separated? Like, whatever. Well, one guy goes, and then the other guy actually lets us go in front of him. I was dumbfounded. Because I would never do that, because my movie starts in like 3 minutes. Like, nah, sorry, you're on, you should have got her earlier. So it was nice to see somebody being nice like that. So I'm like, all right, cool. At the end of the movie, and what brought it back to mind was you saying him being in the Avengers movie. There's a fine line when you go see these movies to where you try not to be that guy. Well, after the movie's over, we're walking out, and the guy behind us is like, well, he's going to be back for Avengers anyways. And I just kind of tightened up on the way out. Like,
just keep walking. You gotta learn to keep walking. Like, wait. I learned that a long time ago.
So I'm like, okay, just let him be wrong. I think he was trying to impress the girl he was with, because he was talking about, well, this and this and this, and I'm like, well, wrong, no, yeah, no, yeah. And he goes, well, I guess they're just gonna have to recast him for the Avengers movie coming up. And I'm like, don't say anything. And Elise goes, what's the matter with you? I was like, nothing. Let's just go.
Yeah, just
keep walking. So he says one more thing, and I actually felt my feet slowing down, and she kept walking. Luckily, I'm like, all right, I got to keep up with her. But I just wanted to turn around and be like, there's no way it's happening. It's not going to happen. And if it is, they're not going to recast somebody as Wolverine and put him in the Avengers movie. That just ain't going to happen.
Yeah, like this, because one, like, that defeats the whole purpose of having Wolverine. They're like, oh, we're going to have John Courtney as Wolverine. Marvel the Avengers.
We
like,
watched
come
up
on.
Punching bag, Jay Courtney.
Yeah, like, what are you. That's why I was like, I never, ever talk to strangers at movies, especially comic movies. Never, ever. Because it's like, it's always going to be one that. It's either going to be people that's wrong, because like, it's a lot of people that see the comic movies that never read the comics.
Yep.
They never will, and that's all they know. There's some people that like the comic movies, they may not remember details. Like, they get the general idea, but they may not necessarily remember all the details, because it's like, it's tough. And then it's the ones that are like, well, actually, you know, such and such, like, they just want to hit you with their nerd Bible to show you how smart they are, how dumb you are. It's like you're getting in a pissing contest, something that means absolutely nothing. Let him be wrong and impress his girlfriend that's probably rolling her eyes, and you be happy that you know that you're
girlfriend.
Right. Girlfriend. Yeah, I'm surprised that was actually a thing.
Yeah, hey, I was there with my wife, so it's like, well, she knew she was getting herself into, but unless I see the ring on that finger, dude, just don't do it.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, just going to recast because you can't. Wolverine, he makes money. You know, the Disney Marvel, and it's like, just let him. It's worse. It's bad when you're not as smart as you swear you are, and you just go prowling around like you master your own domain.
Yeah.
Let them be wrong, because I know you just probably clenching your fists up like those Arthur memes. Like, I got to set this guy straight.
You know, that's why I think on The Simpsons, the comic book guy is like the perfect character. Because that's all he does. That's all it is. And that's a great thing to have in your head. If you decide to start doing that, no, just don't. Like, yeah. I talked to other guys in the theater. Like, when I saw Godzilla, I was by myself. So the other people in there, we were talking about stuff. And I think that's when we were talking about either Arrow. Yeah, we were talking about Arrow. It was the first season of Arrow, I think, when Godzilla came out. Was it that long ago? Or one of the seasons. And I was like, dude, that show was incredible. I was like, that show was so good. And then somebody else said something. We were all talking. And then some dipshit, of course, has to say, well, you know, and then the whole conversation just came to an end. Like, no.
It's almost like you hear that. You hear somebody like, theme, he's like, oh, here we go. Guy. Well, you know, actually, and it's like the record scratch.
Well, you know, he's just an analogous character for the Bruce Wayne. Since, you know, DC doesn't allow it. It's like, oh my God, we were just talking about how good the show was. Just shut up. I don't care about the behind-the-scenes stuff. I like what's on my TV.
Oh yeah, Arrow is awesome. You see that thing? Actually, all he is just playing blonde Bruce Wayne, and like they just found something. Like it's almost like somebody discovered. Hey, look, you know, I just discovered the quarter, right? You know, it's the thing that's 25 cents. Like, yes, we know, you damn dummy. Like people just swear. It's like people, they swear they just invented a Hadron Collider and they just want to let you know. Like they just discovered something. I call it almost Christopher Columbus symbol. You discover something that people already know about, don't want to talk about. It's like, look what I found. Let me show you about it. Like, no. It's almost that whole joke. Like, was it when somebody made a joke about Chris Jericho when he's talking about inventing moves and like he invented the German suplex in Canada? It's like, it's like, what are you doing? I'm like, you tell us that, what you expect us to give you a high five? Like, oh, setting us. Like, no, we're gonna say okay and then make fun of you when you leave.
Okay. Yes. All right. So, all right, we'll need to get out of here. We'll talk about the DC stuff later. But okay. So, what's your rule on what you wear to the movie theater? Do you like? We usually go opening day or the day before now. Do you wear, one, a comic-related shirt of any kind, or two, nope. or three would be none, or two, do you wear, if you go to Batman, you have a Batman shirt on, if you go to Deadpool, you got a Deadpool shirt on, like that. Do you wear the t-shirt of the product you're going to watch? Or if you, or should you, and if you don't, or if you do, or if you see somebody with that, do you actually start a conversation with them?
I do not. And no, because I don't begrudge anyone that does. Like, I remember when going to see the Avengers, and it was like a teenager dressed up like Nick Fury, and which was funny because he was Hispanic with an afro, but
well,
he had the eye patch and the leather jacket, and I'm like, it's like 92 degrees outside.
Oh, no, see that, I don't mind people dressing up. Like, that's fine.
I don't mind. It's just,
you know what I mean? Like, but they got the bat signal on during Batman versus Superman. You're like, I probably have something in common with him, but
yeah, nah, I don't, I'm just going to sit here. Here's the thing. I treat the same way like I treat wrestling fans. It's like, I'm happy when I meet the ones that are like, that know how to act in public, because most of the ones I see, I think it's more like online, they don't have any social skills, or they are not the type of people I want to hang with. So now I don't judge them. Let them be the way they want to be. But I ain't hanging with them. Like, nah, I don't. Hey, what'd you think about the movie? Nothing. That's what I'm like.
Nah.
That's what I thought about. Like, you know, like, no, I'm not. You're not pulling me in that rabbit hole. Like, before we go, because remember, we went to Mania in Dallas, and we went as a group. And a lot of people we went with, they were there for like a convention and stuff like that, and they were busy talking about Arrow and the Flash and stuff like that. And they spent like a good hour talking. I'm like, and they, me and Steve went to see. They're like, where y'all going? I'm like, we didn't pay. We going to watch WrestleMania. Like, you guys can talk this stuff about the Flash. Like, it's WrestleMania. Y'all go ahead, talk to these strangers y'all never meet again and have fun like that. I did not come down here and spend my money to, like, oh, you rather watch Ryback, Russell Callisto, what, compared to nerds talking about the Flash? Yes, I'd rather watch Ryback than Callisto. Why you think I came to Dallas? Not to talk about comic shit with strangers. Like, it's the time and place for that. I do that with friends. I don't do that with people I don't know, because it devolves too much into a dick swinging contest, especially when I got more important things to do, like anything else.
So there you go. There was something else to follow that, but I forget what it is. But this is actually a tidy show, so we'll get out of here. So thanks for listening, everybody. Go see Logan. Do not bring your children. I will not tell you how to raise your kid, but don't.
Don't do it.
Yeah, not for a while, because there's a whole lot of child murder and violence in this thing. So, so I'm out of here. Stunt Granny, all social media. Look for us on your SoundCloud, iTunes, all that stuff. And hey, have a good weekend, gang.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and pour one out for Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart. We are out.